الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has once again blessed us with this beautiful and auspicious day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said regarding this blessed day, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ The best day in which the sun can rise is this blessed day of Jumu'ah. And today being the 26th of Rajab, this day that we are currently witnessing is a day that is drawing us closer to the blessed month of Ramadan. At present, we are approximately 34 days away from the blessed month of Ramadan. So each and every one of us, young and old, we need to be making the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. O Allah, bless us in these remaining days of Rajab, bless us in the month of Sha'ban, and O Allah, make each and every one of us reach the blessed month of Ramadan. This dua that we are perhaps reciting for the last 3 weeks or just over 3 weeks and we need to continue reciting for the next 5 weeks is a very special supplication. It is something that's supposed to be conscientizing us with regards to the blessed month of Ramadan. That means spiritually within ourselves, we need to be preparing for the month of Ramadan. Preparation for the blessed month when it comes to the menus for the month of Ramadan, our freezers are always ready and well stocked for the month of Ramadan. But the question is, spiritually, how ready are we for the month of Ramadan? How stocked up are we spiritually to receive the blessings, the greatness of the month of Ramadan? So spiritual preparation is more important than the preparation that goes into food. MashaAllah, there's nothing wrong with the preparation of the food, etc. Because we know the many virtues that have been mentioned with regards to feeding a fasting person, etc. So you cash in on that good, but don't forget ultimately the good that you need to cash in on for the month of Ramadan in terms of our own spirituality, in terms of us gaining the best or gaining the most that we possibly can from the month of Ramadan. So each day that passes by us from now over the next 34 days, let us try and take out even a few moments a day to sit and reflect and ponder that how can I make myself ready for the month of Ramadan. So from now I need to make sure my salah is in order. From now I need to look at my program. The winter days are very short. How am I going to manage my time in the month of Ramadan? That is something that is very, very important for us to all be doing, inshallah, to try and ready ourselves and equip ourselves to receive the blessings and the greatness of the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from those fortunate and privileged ones that once again witnessed the entire month of Ramadan in the best of conditions, and may we do the best that we possibly can when that blessed month does dawn upon us. Respected brothers and elders, our topic of discussion for today is something which is known and termed in our deen as Husnul Khatima. And it is translated as a good end. Every one of us seated here are well aware of our date of birth. Our ID numbers, we know it at the back of our heads. We can say it at any time. We know the day that we were born. We know the date that we were born. But none of us seated here know when will be the time for departure from this world. But since we all well acquainted and we all know very well when we came into this world, it's not about the entrance that we made. Neither is the criteria placed upon the present that we find ourselves in. But it's all about the end. How are we going to leave this world? That is the most important. Because a person can make a brilliant entry into this world. He can have a fantastic present life in this world. But if he doesn't have a good end, then what is the use? That is something that we all need to be focusing on as well. Because one day we are going to leave this world. But how are we going to leave this world? That is something which is unknown to us. One hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I wish to share with you today is something which is really thought-provoking when it comes to this uncertainty and unpredictable time at the end when we leave this world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna ahadakum la ya'malu bi'amali ahli al-jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that there can be a situation of a person that does all the actions of the people of Jannah. Hatta ma yakuna baynaha wa baynahu illa dhira'un. The person carries out so much of good deeds, he gets such close proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, that he is literally a step away from Jannah. That's how much of good a person does. And that is something which is so amazing. Imagine a person reaches such a level that in this world he's literally one step away from Jannah. That's how much of good he does. Every box he ticks in terms of good deeds. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ. Then suddenly this person's destiny now overtakes him. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. And now the person takes a complete drastic U-turn in life. From a man who did so much of good that he was one step away from Jannah, he was absolutely close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now he moves totally in the opposite direction. And he starts to carry out the actions of the people of Jahannam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَيَدْخُلَهَا. That becomes the end of that person's life. After he took such a drastic U-turn, after being one step away from Jannah, the man ends up in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and may Allah protect us. Something which is really an eye-opener. How is that possible? The man was so close and he ended up so far. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. And sometimes there can also be the situation of a person that does everything wrong under the sun. He carries out all the bad actions of the people of Jahannam. And he does so much of wrong in this world that he literally comes one step away from Jahannam. Everybody wash their hands of that person. There's absolutely no hope for him. Nobody wants to see him. Everybody knows that he's a goner, he's finished. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ. This person, suddenly he takes a U-turn in life. After a life full of wrong and being one step away from Jahannam, the person makes a U-turn, فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And now he starts carrying out the actions of the people of Jannah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَيَدْخُلَهَا. That becomes the end of that person's life and he ends up in the eternal bliss of Jannah. The man who was one step away from Jahannam at one point in his existence, he ended up perpetually in Allah's mercy and in Jannah. And the other individual that was almost one step away from Jannah, because of the immense good that he had done, he took a U-turn and he ended up somewhere else. So that gives us a very clear message that the end is something which is unpredictable. But at the same time, we have within our control to a certain extent how the final outcome could possibly be. Because the ulama explained to us and they say, Man akthara min shay'in fi hayatihi. Whoever is constant with certain good deeds or good actions in his life in this world or in his existence in this world, then it's more than likely that that person will leave the world in the condition of him carrying out those good actions. He will have a good end. And that end is something that we always need to keep in front of us. How am I going to leave this world? How will I make my exit from this world? Is it going to be in a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me? Or is it going to be in another condition? May Allah save us and may Allah protect us. So we'll go through a few examples, inshallah, of different individuals that had different exits in this world. Before we go into those examples, I wish to share with you an incident that never happened 1400 years ago or maybe 1200 years ago. You know, many a times when sometimes the narrations or the incidents of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are mentioned, so we might feel that how can we directly relate to it? That happened so long ago, that was a different time, it was a different era, they were on another level. Sometimes we might feel ourselves being distant from that time. But this is not an example that I'm going to quote that happened 1,000 years ago, but rather an example that happened perhaps in the last 30 or 40 years of the era that we are living in. There was a person that had gone for Umrah, and this person was making tawaf of the Kaaba. And as he began his tawaf of the Kaaba, he noticed an individual standing and holding onto the cloth of the Kaaba and making a dua, saying, Allahumma akhrijni min ad-dunya muslima. Allahumma akhrijni min ad-dunya muslima. That's all. Only one statement that this person is repeating over and over and over again. So the person heard the dua, started his tawaf, he went the first round, he comes around the second time, he passes the same man making the same dua constantly. He goes the second time around, he comes for the third time past the person, and the man is making the same dua, nothing else. He's only crying and saying, Allahumma akhrijni min ad-dunya muslima. So he completes his entire tawaf, 7 circuits, and then he performs his 2 rakat salah, and he sees the man still in the same position. So he goes and he waits for a while to get the attention of this individual. And finally, when he gets his attention, he taps him on the shoulder and he says, brother, would you permit me to ask you a question? So the man says, no problem, ask me what question you wish to ask. So he says, listen, I started my tawaf, and from the beginning right till now, I noticed that you're making only one dua constantly. Allahumma akhrijni min ad-dunya muslima. Oh Allah, take me away from this world with my iman intact. Take me away as a believer, oh Allah. Keep my iman intact when I exit this world. So I know it's an amazing dua, it's a beautiful dua, it's something that we all supposed to be making. But my question to you is, that is there nothing further that you desire from Allah? Is there nothing else that you wish to ask for? Why is it that you're repeating one statement constantly? So the person turns around and says that, brother, if only you know what I've witnessed in life, then you would be forced to make the same supplication constantly and ask for nothing else. So now the man says, I became more curious, and I said, brother, all the more reason why you should share with me your story, now that you've alerted my senses, now I want to know more, I'm curious. So the man says, I had 2 brothers, elder brothers. And both of them, the first brother, was engaged in a certain great act of worship for an unbroken period of 40 years. A very good act of worship. 40 years he was constant in that act of worship. And then came the time for my brother to leave this world. He was on his deathbed. We all were around him, all family members. He was drifting in and out of consciousness. And then suddenly he wakes up, he looks at all of us and he tells us that, bring me the Quran. I want a copy of the Quran. So he says, we all got excited, we were so positive, we said, wow, what a brilliant way, he's almost leaving this world, he wants the Quran. Quickly we made arrangements for the Quran to be brought to my brother, and we placed it on his chest. And he says, with whatever strength was left in his body, he held on to the Quran, he looked at each and every one of us, and he said, I have nothing to do with this book and all that it contains. And he took his last breath. He said, we all were absolutely shocked. We could not believe what we had just witnessed. That this is what happened to my brother right at the end when he left this world. And he said, if you think that's bad, my second brother, the time came for him to leave this world. He was also engaged in a particular act of worship for a period of approximately 30 years. And now came the time for him to leave this world. We're all standing around him. He's drifting in and out of consciousness. A similar scenario. Suddenly he wakes up and he tells us that, please bring me a copy of the Quran. Now we're skeptical. We know what we witnessed the first time. But again, we thought on a more positive note. Okay, maybe it will be different this time around, because this same brother was standing with us when the incident happened with our other brother. So again, we did not want to refuse. We brought the Quran in the presence of my brother. And he did exactly the same thing. He held on to the Quran. He looked at all of us and he said, I have nothing to do with this book and all that it contains. And he took his last breath in this world. But the explanation that goes further is that both these individuals, they perpetrated certain actions. There were 2 vices that were prevalent in both their lives. And the reason why I wish to highlight those vices is maybe as a precaution for us and for us to save and protect ourselves. Because remember, As much as we do good actions and they have a brilliant and a positive effect, when we do bad actions, it also has very serious consequences. It's not something that we can take lightly and that we can take for granted. But the two vices that were prevalent in both their lives is that they both had a weakness of, number one, pornography, and number two, homosexuality. These two vices and evils were prevalent in both these persons' lives, but despite the fact that he had engaged in so much great acts of worship, at the end, unfortunately, it seems as if the consequences of those bad actions came to the fore. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and may Allah protect us. But he says, this is what I witnessed firsthand. That is why from that day, right till now, until the time I leave this world, this will be the only dua that I beg Allah for. Allahumma akhrijni min ad-dunya muslima. Oh Allah, take me away from this world with my iman intact. That's all I ask for because of what I've seen in life. And that's all I wish for, that when I leave this world, I must leave this world with my iman intact. We all gonna leave this world at some point or the other. We've seen so many people leave the world. How much of effort have we put in into making that grand exit or making that good exit, that we leave this world in a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us? Another example that happened in our country just a few years ago. I traveled to a certain town and there's a good friend of mine, a great alim that served in the community. So we met up. It was a while since we had seen each other. So we began talking about general things, etc. And then the alim shared something with me which made my hair stand. And he said, Maulana, you know, in our lives, maybe over the last 10 or 12 years ago, everybody was accustomed to listening to a dua of a great scholar of our time, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahimahullah. We all must have heard the supplication at some point or the other, where he would beg Allah, oh Allah, do not let the angel of death find us in a bad place, in a bad condition, whether it be a cinema, whether it be a place of vice. Everybody heard that dua. So he said, Maulana, we all used to hear that dua, but I don't think sometimes we really understood the reality of that supplication. So this alim serving this community is also in charge of what we would say the burial committee. Any mayat that takes place, he gets the call, we need assistance. So he says, one day it was a normal day, it was the afternoon, my phone rang, I answered the phone, it was from a certain hotel resort. So they tell me that, listen, it seems as if there's a Muslim person that was our guest, he has passed away, we require your assistance when we were told to contact you all. So he said immediately, we jumped in our vehicles and we proceeded to this hotel. This hotel had a casino joined to it, part and parcel of it. So he says, we enter the hotel, we go to the reception, we say, this is who we are, we've received the call, direct us in the right place. They say, go towards the casino, there's people waiting for you all there. So the man says, the alim says, we got shocked, we were scared, we didn't know what to expect. And he says, we enter a casino and we see a beloved brother slumped on the poker table. He had a massive heart attack and that was his end there and then. He said, Maulana, I can't explain to you, when we saw that before our eyes, his body, they never move it, they never touch it. He was slumped on the poker table. He said, we all burst into tears. We couldn't believe what we saw. And he said, the reason why I'm telling you this is because we need to share it with others. We can't take it for granted that we know when we're going to leave this world or we'll be able to run and make an exit. No, when death comes, it comes immediately. There's no stopping, there's no turning away. He said, in front of our eyes, lay our brother in that condition. So the end is something which is unpredictable. But as I said earlier, the more we try to occupy and involve ourselves in good deeds, then inshallah, that will be a good sign when it comes to our end in this world. We will leave this world. That person who's frequent with the recitation of the Quran, who's passionate about reciting the Quran, it's more than likely that he will leave the Quran. He will leave the world reciting Quran. The person who loves to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah, the one who loves to bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is more than likely that when the time comes for that person to leave this world, they will leave this world in a condition that they stand in before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they bow in and they prostrate in. How many examples we've seen of people who passed away in salah, people who passed away while reciting Quran. There's a story mentioned of a youngster, 27 years old, on the day of Jumu'ah, the second rakat of the Jumu'ah Salah, in Sajda. He never had heart complications, he never had blood pressure, he never had sugar. No known complications. The second rakat of Jumu'ah Salah in Sajda, he passed away and he left this world. That is how he breathed his last. So they can also be, there's so many countless examples of good ends. One woman at the age of 80 year old woman, she passed away in the position of sajda, praying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was amazing of her story is that when she passed away in sajda, her body became locked in that position. So when people came to turn over, they could not remove her body from the position of prostrating. It was locked in that position. They had to give her ghusl somehow or the other with her body in that position. They had to tie her kafan with her body in that position. And they had to put her in a grave in the state of her prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will leave this world the way you lived in this world. And you will be raised up on the day of Qiyamah the way you left this world. So if a person left this world in a position of sajda, a person was entered their grave with their body locked into prostration, how will that person be raised up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iza arada Allahu bi 'abdin khayran ista'malahu." When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for any person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilizes and Allah uses that person. The companions ask, "Kayfa ista'malahu?" O Nabi of Allah, tell us, we're desperate to know, how does Allah utilize that person in a good way? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yahdihi li'amalin salihin qabla mawtihi." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide that person to good deeds before that person leaves this world. Allah will guide you to goodness right at the end when it is most vital, right at the end when it's most important. It's not about how good the entry was. It's not about how brilliant the present is. It's all about how good that end is gonna be. That's something that every one of us need to concentrate on. The young man can't take it for granted that when I'm 40 or when I'm 50 years old, then I'm going to start changing my life. The one that's 50 years old cannot take it for granted that I think I have a little bit more time in life. Every day we all on borrowed time. Every day that we see the sun rise and we see the sun set, that is a privilege from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we see that sun set, there's no guarantee that we're going to see sunrise. And when we see that sunrise, there's absolutely no guarantee that we're going to see the sunset. How many times we woke up in the morning, we spoke to the brother and we met somebody and that same afternoon we buried them. How many times we met the person in the night and the next morning we attended their janazah. How many people went to sleep at night and never woke up in the morning? Nobody knows when it's their last day. Nobody knows when it's their last moment. Nobody knows. But if since nobody knows, what we do know is that we have to do what we need to do now. That is most important. We can't wait for Ramadan. Inshallah, Ramadan is coming. This year I'm going to change my life. No, the change needs to happen now. It's 34 days away. In fact, over the last maybe 10 or 12 years, I always say this, from the first of Rajab right till the last day of Sha'ban, just watch the notice board in the masjid. Look at, everybody passes away throughout the whole year. Our deaths have already been decreed, the time when we're going to leave this world. So throughout the year we witness janazas, throughout the year people pass away. But look at it from the first of Rajab to the last day of Sha'ban and see how many sometimes more people end up passing away. Young, old, sick, non-sick, everybody. Sometimes things just happen and we see that notice board day in, day out. This person has passed away, that person has passed away. So they come so close but they don't get to see the month of Ramadan. So we can't wait for the month of Ramadan to say that that's when we're going to make the changes and that's when we're going to try and do some good. We need to do the good now. And if we see the month of Ramadan, all the better, you can do more good when that comes. In fact, I remember one year, it was the 30th day of Sha'ban, the last day of Sha'ban. That evening, the month of Ramadan was due to commence. And we walked into the masjid just before the Maghrib Adhan. Just before the Maghrib Adhan. And we see the notice board, a person passed away. And I thought to myself, the man came right to the door, but he never got to enter. Right till the last day, it was the 30th, not the 29th of Sha'ban, where there was still that ambiguity, is the moon sighted or is the moon not sighted. This was the last day of Sha'ban, so it's a guaranteed fact. Tonight is the first of Ramadan. But the person came so close, yet he was so far. He never got to see the month of Ramadan. So we can't wait till then. We need to do it now. We need to focus and concentrate. Sometimes we need to take stock of ourselves. That this is where I am right now in my life. How do I want to leave this world? The angel of death is gonna come find me one day. That call I will have to answer. Death is a door that every person has to enter. We don't have a choice. You see, in this world, somebody phones you, you can put the phone on silent. It's a missed call. There's no missed call when it comes to death. But then, maybe, I don't know, I can't say this on a lighter note, but sometimes many people, they have a lot of missed calls when it comes to that too. Everybody gives up hope. They all think the person is gone, and they bounce back. It's like up and down, and it happens. And many a times, the people that were waiting for that person to go, they go, that person is still around. So that also does tend to happen. But when the real moment comes, you can't miss that call. When the real call comes, we're going to go. But how are we going to go? That can be up to us. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. And we need to beg Allah that Allah grant us that good end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all away from this world in a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. And in a condition that we are doing some good action that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the great scholars also mentioned that anybody who wishes to have a good end, then that person needs to make sure that his private life is brilliant, is good, and is wholesome. That's all you need to do. The recipe for a good end, make sure when the world is not watching you, Allah is pleased with you. You will have a good end, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our iman intact. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us away from this world with our iman intact and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with us. You know, they say that all people go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they leave this world. So whether people believe in Allah, whether they don't believe in Allah, all people go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they leave this world. But intelligent and wise is the one that goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they leave this world. That's the intelligent person. Those that go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala long before they leave this world. And when we do that, inshallah, then when the time comes for us to exit, it's going to be in a good condition. And it's going to be in a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. And again, we'll go through the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we started with, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ahadakum la ya'malu bi'amali ahli al-jannah." They can be a situation of a person that does all the good deeds of the people of Jannah until he's literally one step away from Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ. This person's destiny overtakes him. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. And the man takes a U-turn and starts doing everything wrong under the sun, and he ends up in Jahannam. A person who was one step away from Jannah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. There can also be the scenario of a person that does everything wrong under the sun until this person reaches a point where he's one step away from Jahannam. But that person's destiny then overtakes him, and he starts doing the actions of the people of Jannah. فَيَدْخُلَهَا. And he ends up forever and ever in the Jannah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, the message, you can't write anyone off, neither can we take anything for granted. We can't say we're safe right now because of where we are. Because it's not about now, it's all about that the end. You can't say that person, there's no hope for him. You don't know what a brilliant end that person might have in store for them. Doesn't mean you're not supposed to be advising and helping them to correct themselves. That's a different story altogether. But it's all about the end. That is the most important. They say that you need to create a life that feels good on the inside, not only a life that looks good on the outside. Create a life that feels good on the inside. A life that is really good, not only one that looks fantastic on the outside. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.